Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
The assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're joining us, we're so glad you're with us today. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1. We started it last Sunday. And I talked about how we are blessed in Christ. Everybody shout, in Christ. In heavenly places. He has predestined us to the adoption of sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So in Christ, we are blessed. Despite your circumstances, despite what's going on around you or what diagnosis you may have received, He is still on the throne. And you are still blessed in Him. You believe it? Shout amen.
Amen.
Steve, what a wonderful work the Lord has done. And I'm glad Sandra pointed it out that every time we pray for healing, He's up here. Persistence, being persuaded, obedience, right? If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders. Let them anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord shall raise them up. Yes. We believe that here. Amen. And you're seeing the evidence of it in his life. But knowing Steve, he goes to bed listening to God's word. He stays in God's word throughout the day. And that's where the power lies. The revelation of the knowledge of him, which is his word. Amen? You got your Bible? All right, look with me. Verse 15 of Ephesians 1. Paul prays a prayer. And I truly believe that God answered his prayer in the written word that we have in front of us, right here. Look with me, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what he prays. Look at verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Once again, I believe he answered that prayer because we have wisdom and revelation in the 66 books of your Bible, you see. God answered his prayer. That's important. In the knowledge of him. Him who? Christ, in whom we are seated with in heavenly places according to chapter 1. Which means we are blessed with all spiritual blessings, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We have these things by the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in the revelation and the knowledge of him. Look at verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Whose calling? Your calling? No, his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Shout, that's me. You have a spiritual inheritance. You know what it is? It's his word. Sandra said it so well. If you're facing a situation, go to God's word, find an answer, find a promise, and stand upon it. Meditate upon it. Get it in your heart. Let it come alive in your spirit. Understand that that is your blessing in heavenly places. You have the revelation of the knowledge of Christ in his word. Amen? All right. Now, I want you to look verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power? If you have King James, it's the exceeding greatness of his power. I'm doing NASB here today. And toward us who believe, these are in accordance. Accordance is a musical term, harmony. These are in harmony with the working of the strength of his might. In this one verse, we have four different words for power. In our English language, we say we've got power. We've got power at home. We've lost power. We have a general idea of what that is, right? But Paul, in the Greek language, understands something. There are several words for one English word that we have, which means there's several different meanings. Now look at this one verse. Look at the first word in 18, or 19 rather. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power? In the Greek, that's dunamis, which is dynamite, dynamic power. Acts 1, verse 8, he says, you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamite, explosive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We have one word for power. It's toward usward who believe. These are in accordance to the working. That word working in the Greek is energeia. We get our word energy from that word. An energetic force, a power of the strength, or King James may say power in that word there, which means exousia or kratos, which means dominion, strength, might, dominion over everything. And that's the point of Ephesians 1 here in this passage. He has the preeminence. He, Christ, is above all things, you see. Of his might, verse 19, that last word, ischus, which is the ability to perform. And he is able, more than able, to perform a miracle in your life. Do you believe God still performs miracles? Oh, I do. Do you still believe that he's able to do what others may say are impossible? Oh, I believe it. With man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all, shout all, all things are possible in Christ. So we have four different words packed in one verse. What kind of power is this, Doug? Well, he tells us. Look at verse 20. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I'm talking about resurrection power. And that's what he's talking about here. Resurrection power. Think about it for a moment. That's power on top of power on top of power. And with that kind of power, anything can resurrect in your life. Amen. With the revelation of the knowledge of Christ. And Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 10, he says, I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to know him so powerfully that I know him in the power of his resurrection. Resurrection power. What is resurrection power? Well, it's dunamis, it's kratos, it's exousia, it's energeia, it's power on top of power on top of more power. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let me give you an Old Testament counterpart. Go to 2 Kings chapter 4. The anointing of the Spirit is here. I want to tell you, I feel something stirring. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4. The prophet Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, who took the mantle of Elijah, who received a double portion of the anointing that Elijah had. Now, Elijah called fire down from heaven. Think about how much power that was through God in his hand. But Elisha gets a double portion of that kind of power. And I want us to see a narrative here in 2 Kings 4. There's a Shunammite woman who she and her husband would take care of Elisha when he would come to town as the prophet of God, the evangelist, the man of God. They built him a room in their house. And of course, he blesses the family and says, I'll give you what you desire. And of course, they desire a child. God give them a child through the prophet Elisha. And then one day that child's working out in the field and he dies. Let's read what she does. Verse 18 of 2 Kings 4. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother, and he sat on her lap until noon, and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, the room that they had built for Elisha, and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and return. And he said, why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Won't you just resignate that from your own heart and say it with me. It is well. Notice her response. One packed full of faith, full of assurance, full of persuasion, that despite the circumstances, she was able to say, it is well. Oh, I love this. And let me make a point here. Do you realize that her husband was saying, you can't go to the man of God today. You have to go on specific days, at specific times. Aren't you glad in our new covenant that our Elisha, Christ, made a way for us to go to the throne room of heaven at any time? And nobody can tell us it's not Sunday or it's not Wednesday, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have the power to go into the presence of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, I love that. Verse 24, and then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive, go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you. So she went, came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And when the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, there is the Shunammite. He recognized her. Please run now to meet her and say to her, it is well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered. Notice the first words that proceeded out of her mouth were not, my boy's dead. You lied to me. What's going on? Why is God doing this? Why would God let this happen? But her response was, go ahead and say it. It is well. Hallelujah. And when she came to the man of God, notice she did not deny the problem. We know this because she took action. Faith is an action word. Faith causes you to do something. I'm not into the doctrine of saying the opposite of what's going on and that's what will happen. That's ridiculous. If you're sick, don't say you're not sick. You're sick. Faith is an action word. Faith says this is a reality. However, it is well because the truth of his word overrides the facts of my life. You can't deny trouble. Trouble will just run right after you. You can't outrun your problem. What you can do is take action, square your shoulders like a T-rail, and declare from your heart, it is well. Hallelujah. I love it. She was persuaded. She was persuaded that God was going to work a miracle. I believe this with all my heart. She was persuaded. Therefore, she spoke after her persuasion, saying, it is well. It is well. Man, I believe this today. Look at 27. When she came to the man of God, to the heel, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone. For her soul is troubled within her. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? So she's getting to the point here. She's saying, look, it's well. I trust his word. I believe it. I believe in the power and the promise of God. But here's what's going on. And she took it to Elisha. Understand something. Everything in the scripture must point to Christ. If it doesn't, don't teach it. Because it's your own assumption. When we go to Christ, we can get down to the brass tacks. He knows what we need before we pray. He knows what's ahead, you see. And I'm telling you, when you go to God in prayer, don't use some language that you think sounds holy and righteous. I get so tired of that. We go to these men's and prayer conferences and all this, and these guys stand up and, you know, oh God, how us we us need us. Thou us know us, how us we us need us. Like God is a 16th century God. guy has been told he has cancer. You think he's going to go to the back room and say, God, thou knowest I have cancer. Oh, no, he's going to cry out to God and say, God, you've got to heal me. And get right down to the point. That's what she did here. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins, take my staff in your hand, go your way, and if you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him. And lay my staff on the lad's face. He's sending Gehazi, his right-hand man, to try to get this boy raised from the dead. What's this got to do with Ephesians 1? Remember, resurrection power, bringing dead things back to life again. Verse 30, the mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives and as yourself live, I will not leave you. And he rose and followed her. Notice once again her persistence. You know, I think about Winston Churchill, how looking down the dark mouth of a Nazi regime, getting ready to invade Britain, and he stands up at the podium and says these words, never give up. He would go to colleges all over the world, and he would give commencement speeches, and they would give him an hour time slot. And every time he would get behind that podium and say these words, never give up. That was it. Good money for a little work, huh? But oh, what a powerful message. The persistence. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're watching, never give up. Never stop believing God. The Bible says that a breathing dog is better than a dead lion. As long as there's breath in your body, there is hope beyond the scope for a miracle. Matthew 7 verses 7 and 8 says this, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open. And then in the Greek language in verse 8 it actually says this, John, he that continues to ask shall receive, he that continues to seek shall find, he that continually knocks, the door shall be open. That's why every time we give you an invitation to be prayed for, you ought to run to this altar with persistence and with faith, believing God and believing he is who he says he is. Hallelujah. Verse 31, then Gehazi passed on before them, laid the staff on the lad's face, but there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, the lad has not awakened. Elijah came into the house, and behold, the lad was dead, laid on his bed. I want to give you a point here. Ready? You cannot always rely on somebody else's faith. You, listen, I believe wholeheartedly in corporate prayer. I believe in intercession. I believe there are times when God can perform a miracle in somebody's life because of your prayer and your faith. But there comes a time when you are going to have to get alone with God. There comes a time when you're going to have to stand before him with your heart open, declaring it is well, by faith, trusting in the hand of God. You cannot ride the coattails of somebody else's faith. You have to at some point. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. But they that come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And verse 33, so he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. This is closet power. Amen. Jesus said, go to your closet, shut the door. And what is prayed and what is sought in private shall be rewarded openly. Did he not say that? Sure he did. Closet prayer. Shutting out everything else. Sometimes you just got to quit talking to people. Sometimes you just got to quit answering texts and quit talking to people who sow nothing but negatives into your life. Nothing worse than a negative person. Stifling your faith. But you don't have to let that happen. Sometimes you just got to turn the phone off and shut the door, get out his word, and remind yourself that it is well and that you have resurrection power and a revelation and a knowledge of God in his word. All right, it's getting good here. Let's see. Verse 34. And he went up and lay on the child. Now, this seems strange, but I want you to see Jesus in this. You ready? He goes and he lays on the child, puts his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Now, I want you to think about something. We have a picture of the cross right here. Because Jesus, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, looking to show himself strong to those whose hearts are perfected toward him. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching over the good and the evil. When Jesus hung upon the cross, he looked upon those Roman soldiers. And they say when you die, your life flashes before your eyes. I've almost died, and that didn't happen to me, so I don't know if it's true or not. But I want to tell you, if that's the case, I believe that it was our lives that flashed before Christ's eyes, you see. And he was looking at us through eternity future, predestined us to become sons and daughters of God. His mouth on his mouth. Jesus, from the cross, looked at those Romans. You realize you're that Roman soldier? You realize that? You're the one bidding for his clothes. You're the one casting lots for his garment. You're the one making fun of him. And he looks down with his eyes and says with his mouth, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Elisha put his hands on that lad's hands. And the Bible in Ephesians 1, it tells us that Christ is at the right hand of the Father. His hands represent his gospel. Amen. And I want to tell you something. The hand of God, the right hand of God, is what brings you into covenant with Jesus Christ. It was the right hand of God that pulled Israel out of Egypt. It's the right hand of God that pulls you out of the bondage of sin. Don't ever forget that. And that he looked at you. So every time you go and you sin, I want you to remember that. He's still looking at you. He's still saying those words, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Aren't you glad he's still saying that? Because when he does, life begins to breathe into us again. Oh, I'm so glad that God remembers who we are. He remembers our frame, that we are but dust. But here's what he chooses to forget: the fact that we are sin sick all the time. And if it wasn't for the grace and the power of God, if it wasn't for the eyes of God and the mouth of God breathing life into us, there would be no hope of resurrection power. Oh, hallelujah. This young lad, Elisha walks back and forth a few times. The lad sneezes 7 times, raises to life again. Keep that in mind. Look at Ephesians 1. Hurry, go with me. Ephesians 1. This resurrection power, verse 20 of Ephesians 1, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, there it is, in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Can I tell you this morning, you have in Christ resurrection power. Romans 8 verse 11, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Oh. You see the Trinity at work? God gave us Jesus. That was his gift, the Son of God. Jesus gave us the person of the Holy Spirit, so that we could come to Jesus and that Jesus could make us one with God. Why? Resurrection power. If it wasn't for the resurrection, everything I'm saying would be in vain. It would be empty. It would be worthless. If he was still lying in that tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, we could not claim this kind of power. Oh, but if you go to Jerusalem today and you walk into that dirty, dusty tomb where he laid, you will see that it is empty. And it's been empty for over 2,000 years. And he is still seated at the right hand of the Father, full of power. And guess what? You're seated with him. You're seated with him. He's never been defeated. Isaiah, stay with me. I'm almost finished. Isaiah said these words in Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train, his robe, filled the temple. What does that mean? I read something the other day. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to do this without shouting all over this pulpit right here. Anytime a king would conquer a nation, he would take part of the robe of that king and tie it to his own robe. So you knew how strong and how victorious a king was. King Uzziah understood this. I'm sure King Uzziah had a long flowing robe, victorious over nations and kings. And I believe what God was trying to show Uzziah and speaking through Isaiah was that there is an eternal king whose robe, whose vesture fills the temple that will go forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we can proclaim today that he sits above all principalities and powers, might and dominion in your life. Oh, the King eternal, you see. Hallelujah. Verse 22, he put all things, everybody shout all things, under subjection, under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, that's you and I, which is his body. Highlight that. The fullness of him who fills all in all. I want you to know something. You can declare that it is well in your life today. Whatever the circumstances are, he's in control. He is the King eternal. His train still fills the temple.
Amen. I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast, and we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast, and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.